Good afternoon. 3:53 p.m., February 9th, 2012. Gorgeous 40-degree afternoon here on the Front Range of Colorado, and yes, I'm running a little bit late today. It's been kind of a full day with phone calls and other kinds of business activity that I can't talk about yet. So we'll see how this all shakes out. What I'm thinking about today is, I really don't know. Mostly I'm thinking about education today, because I had one of those emails from a student who asked why the grades were the way they were, and I was put in a position of having to tell them. Usually, these kinds of conversations can be done pretty low-key. They can be pretty low trauma. Well, you know, if you were focused a little bit more, and if you did this instead of what you're doing now, then I think those things will add up to a higher grade, because you'll be able to demonstrate that you're actually learning more. So I got one of these emails about my grade today. And they offered several highly plausible suggestions as to why the grade might be the way it is. And of course, all the suggestions were completely off base, because the reality is that they hadn't done the work. And by not doing the work, the grade they got was very low. Now, I fully anticipate that I'm going to get back from them, where is this all written down? How was I supposed to know? And unfortunately, it's in the document marked, start here. This is what your week will look like. So everybody else seems to have gotten it. Although I have had to make several podcasts about folks, you're supposed to write as a writing prompt every week. You're supposed to write to that prompt early in the week. Think about it. Discuss it with your peers. And then on late in the week, Friday or Saturday, write a synthesis. Tell me what you think you learned. Tell me how it looks to you from there. And every week you're going to write a new one. From an educator's standpoint, this serves me very well, because it gives me a way to judge whether or not anybody's actually doing the reading. By looking at the commentary, I can see whether or not anybody's reading each other's work, or if they're just going through the motions. And in the synthesis grade, I'm able to see whether or not what they've synthesized or what they post for synthesis has any bearing on the kinds of comments that they've posted during the course of the week. So, did I see this developing? And quite frankly, for most of them, the answer is no. I've got a couple of people who write posts that are astrology forecasts. Aries, February 9th. Something will happen to a person. He'll have 2 feet and 2 arms. Possibly hair. And they're kind of general. They're not exactly proving to me that the student is engaged in the work or thinking about the subject. So I've kind of made this apparent by docking grades here and there. So if the post is sort of meh, they don't get full credit. If the post is late, they don't get full credit. If the post is late and meh, they get less credit. Now, this seems like it should be fairly logical. It seems like it should be fairly straightforward. Perhaps I'm not being quite forthright enough with them and letting them know what are the factors that contribute to points lost. For many of these people, this is serious business. This is, you know, if I don't get an A, what does that say? Just didn't do the work. Because basically, if you do the work, you're going to get an A. This is not a course about deep thinking or proving anything, because it's really a course about performance. And if you can't perform, it's not going to happen. It's really easy. So, here are the chapters you read for the week. Here's a writing prompt, or substitute one of your own. And along the way, prove to me that you're actually thinking about this stuff. Because by writing about it, whether you know it or not, or realize it or not, or doing it on purpose or not, that's what you're doing. And for some, this is going to be a really hard year. I've had a couple of people who will write a, you know, I really don't have any idea what this week is all about. Does anybody have any suggestions? But nobody ever does, because I don't know what's going on this week is not enough of a tie to get people to actually respond. It's not enough of a question prompt. In what way don't you understand? Give me a for instance. What did Postman say that you found confusing? What did you read that you found troubling? Why did you find it troubling? What is it that you don't understand about it? It's perfectly plain English and written in a rather, I hate to say it, a rather rudimentary level, particularly for graduate school work, which is what this is. I think you pretty much wrote it at an eighth grade level, and if you're a school teacher and you can't read at eighth grade level, then I think I know what the problem is with education in America. So it's an interesting dilemma. I'm not allowed to say who has what grade. I'm not allowed to say who has done better or worse than anyone else. I'm not allowed to say really anything that compares one student to another without running the risk of earning the wrath of FERPA, the Federal Education something or other Privacy Act. And so it's an interesting problem. And I solve it by putting grades up and putting up podcasts and writing notes to them. And if they don't listen to the podcast or don't read the notes or aren't paying attention to their grades, this could be something of an issue. So we'll see how this works out. It's really kind of interesting to me, because I did this class in the summer for a month, as many of you will remember, and I never had this problem. Of course, they only had one day to do a chapter, so it was a chapter a day every day. Write something, talk about it, think about it, and then a 5,000-page or 3,000-page post at the end of every week to kind of recap where we'd come from. And for the most part, students got it. They dug in, they did it. And I think, you know, part of it was, this is what I expect, and if you want to drop, do it before the drop period is over so that you don't get charged for the course. If you don't do it, and you don't drop, then you're not going to pass. So it was kind of pretty straightforward. And in this course, I've actually said to them, this is what it's going to look like. I wrote specific instructions about what the schedule for each week should be, where to find the pieces of information that they needed for each week. I even summarized it in a table so that they're able to tell where and what they're supposed to do. And lately, I've had to do a couple of podcasts about folks waiting until Saturday or even Sunday to write their weekly writing prompt, which is due on Sunday or Monday of the week following the reading. So as a result, they don't get synthesis in, or they put their writing prompt and their synthesis one post after another all in the same day, and quite frequently just a few minutes apart, which tells me they haven't really done a lot of thinking about it. So that's kind of an issue. I'll be interested to see how this shakes loose, see how the student responds. It's I'm very forgiving in terms of grades, but the reality is if you don't do any work, I got nothing to forgive. If there's nothing there to post, if there's nothing there to grade, then the grade has to be zero. And sometimes it takes a few zeros to get people to pay attention, I guess. Anyway, that's mostly what I'm thinking about today, right at the moment. I'm also thinking about, I've got to get home so I can fix dinner, because I've got to pick up one kid at 6, I've got to drop another one at 7. Somewhere in there, I want my supper. I'd also like to have a cup of coffee, maybe a cup of tea. And I'd like to get back to my netbook and finish that silly story. It's been ridiculous. I haven't done it. It's my own fault. I've had plenty of opportunity that I haven't taken advantage of. I got nobody to blame, no fingers to point, except right back at this guy holding the microphone. Which is, okay, I can live with that. The bottom line is I'll have an hour or so, if all goes as planned, I'll have an hour or so tonight with the elder daughter at karate. And nothing really for me to do except write, which is kind of okay in my book. So that'll work out. I have to make sure my netbook is charged and ready to go. And then all I have to do is go. Should be cool. Oh, so what else? I don't know. I'm very touched by the responses that I'm getting about the thought experiment about quarter share. And honestly, I'm of two minds. I have to be quite frank. The idea that this represents my starting point. This is where, in writing seriously, things began. And so keeping it as it is, keeping it, you know, maybe cleaning up the grammar or cleaning up the typos or whatever, but keeping it as it is really marks a beginning point. And somebody pointed out, and I apologize because I'm terrible with keeping all of these names straight because so many of you have posted comments lately. And somebody pointed out that the story evolved, and this was intentional, as Ishmael evolved. And in a certain sense, my skill as a writer evolved at the same time, so that as the stories unfold, not only does Ishmael become more of a three-dimensional character, more less of a Gary Stu, less of a everything goes right kind of guy, to something that's more akin to what we might think of as a three-dimensional character. In many ways, he was somewhat two-dimensional, and in many ways, the simple stories about a simple kid seemed to fit. And that was how I began, and I've learned so much since then. I think it was Tara who suggested that, oh, speaking of where I began and where I ended up, the workshop suggested that I contact Dean and talk to him about whether or not what I'm hearing is what's going on, or whether I had a brain fart and disconnected with what it was intended to be. So, I don't know. There's a couple of factors that go into this. One of them is, years ago, my wife and I, won a public television auction. In Maine, there was the WCBB auction every year, and they would auction off a bunch of stuff. And so companies and people and organizations would donate things, and then listeners would bid on them, and the money would go to help fund the public television station. We were very active in the auction. We were volunteers. We donated goods. We bought a lot of stuff. And 1 year, what we bought, what we won in auction, was a naturalist's vacation where we would have guided tours to the coast of Maine by some of the key experts in the wildlife and the fauna, in the geology. It was beautiful. In concept, it was astonishing. And we paid quite well for it. And we looked forward to this because it was to happen in the spring. And we looked forward to this for months. When the time came and we showed up at the campground where we would be based, which was just a hop, skip, and a jump from several very private beaches that were protected by the state that we had access to because we were part of this group. And one of the things that they said was, oh, you're here for the Elder Hostel. And we're like, no, we're here for the Nature Conservancy. Oh, yeah, well, that's an Elder Hostel program. You'll be joining these 50 people in participating in this exercise, this vacation. Well, all right, I don't have anything against old people. I hope to be one. We thought that was okay. And then, within 24 hours, the whole thing came unglued. To begin with, these are lands that have no development on them. And we're walking a mile, 2 miles down into wilderness and seeing things that are rare plants and animals. We're seeing things that are not something that you'd run into on an everyday basis. But it requires a certain amount of strength and fortitude, a willingness to crouch behind a bush if you need to pee, and an understanding that what we need is a certain sense of decorum and a certain level of respect for the region and the area. And what we got was 35 magpies shrilling at each other loudly, scaring off any wildlife, alienating any birds in the neighborhood. And on at least two occasions, when we had rare flower, I remember one, a very rare flower that had sprouted between the crack in one of the large bedrocks there on the coast. And the guide pointed it out as a rare something or other, and I don't remember what it was now. But in the process of crowding around in order to see it, one of the people walked on it, trying to find it. So this rare plant was pretty much eradicated by the people who were there to support it. On top of that, the living conditions were more than primitive, and primitive is okay, but primitive is okay if everybody understands that this is primitive and doesn't spend at least several hours a day complaining about the primitive nature of the facilities. So within 24 hours, we bailed, wrote off the money that we'd spent. We went and rented a canoe at the local regional area of canoe rentals and spent the week on our own exploring Scarborough Marsh, in the water, in the canoe, and paddling up and down. We saw sea otters. We saw river otters, I think. We saw a multitude of birds. And it was really quite pleasant when we finally decided that being in a group where nobody really understood what was going on, even though everybody seemed to be there for the same purpose. So I have this history of signing up for things and then having them not be exactly quite what I thought they might be. It was not necessarily a bad thing, but I have this negative experience that colors my perception of what this is likely to be. And 22 people, who really don't have a lot of writing behind them, didn't really sound like a pro-level course. But maybe I'm being elitist. Anyway, I made it around. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and I'll talk to you then.